Sometime in the future, the 10 toes of the fallen Western and Eastern Roman Empire rejoined to form a new strong kingdom that is different from those that have ruled the world before. The great apostasy religion controls this new nation. Her false prophet convinces the nation to elect a man born in that new kingdom as ruler. He's Daniel's little horn that grew up among the 10 horns. In his rise to power, he will kill 3 of the 10 kings of the new kingdom, leaving a kingdom that consists of 10 countries with 7 lesser kings and 1 major king, the man of lawlessness. During the wait, people are living on the earth in colonies in space and in colonies at the bottom of the sea, as well as every other place. The country of Babylon becomes wealthy beyond imagination. Every individual is wealthy. The whole world sells its luxury items to Babylon by the shiploads. The city of Nineveh has been rebuilt as a major capital of the country. The Edomites have moved back to their land on the mountains of Paran and rebuilt their capital city in Teman, leaving the Gaza Strip. In heaven, the Father sits on his throne. His color is green jasper and red sardis, and all around him is a magnificent rainbow that glistens like the emerald in the sunlight. Bolts of lightning flash from the throne. The 24 elders sit on the thrones, dressed in white garments and wearing golden crowns. The 7 spirits of God are the 7 lamps of fire in front of the throne. All sit on a sea of crystal glass. The 4 living creatures with faces of a lion, a calf, a man, an eagle stand at the throne, each with 6 wings full of eyes on both the front and the back, and they are constantly saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." All of heaven searches for one worthy to open the seals on the book. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is worthy to open the seals. Jesus takes the book from the right hand of the Father, and the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fall to their knees, and they say a new song. Thousands of angels join in saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Finally, all is ready, and the Father tells the Son to go get his bride. The voice of the archangel trumpets the news, and the Lord departs heaven to snatch the true church away to meet him in the air, and then they return to heaven for the marriage of the Lamb of God. In heaven, the church, the bride of Christ, unites with the Lord in the marriage ceremony for 7 years in the bridal chamber. There, the Lord gives his bride her gifts and rewards. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord reveals the events of the 7 years of tribulation to John from 3 different perspectives. 7 seals are to be opened, and they all represent the actions of man in some form or fashion. The 7 trumpets represent the actions of Satan, and the 7 bowls represent the actions of God. God is in control of every event during this period. Man cannot act unless Jesus opens each seal. Satan cannot act unless Jesus calls for the angel to blow the trumpet. And then God will have an angel pour out a bowl which gives permission for Satan's actions to occur. On with our story. Jesus breaks the first seal, and a man appears riding a white horse, wearing a crown and carrying a bow. He goes throughout the land conquering, not with force, but with deception. He is the new king of the 10 kingdom empire, and he makes a 7-year treaty with Israel, and Israel falsely believes that the peace has come to the promised land finally. The nation of Israel with her 12 tribes holds a special place in God's plan, but the great red dragon named Satan, with his 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems, has tried to devour Israel and her child, Jesus. Satan is unsuccessful because the child rules with a rod of iron. Israel flees to the promised land, a place of safety and peace, for 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. But this Satan is the power behind the white horse rider of Seal 1. The 10-nation kingdom is ridden hard by the idolatrous woman, the great apostasy that deceives the nations with her sorceries. She is known as the great harlot, and she controls the 10-nation leaders, the man of lawlessness, who to this point only presents himself as the white horse, peace-giving ruler. Her headquarters is her temple in the land of Shinar, and she has the name Babylon on her forehead. Adorned in purple, scarlet, and gold, with precious stones and pearl, she has a gold cup full of abominations in her hand. She is Islam, and she is drunk on the blood of the saints, the witnesses of Jesus. Almost all the characters are in place except the 144 Israelites. The winds of the earth stop blowing, held back by four angels, while another angel places a seal on the forehead of 144,000 Israelites, 12,000 from each tribe, and they cannot be harmed by anyone or anything. Then the Lord's two witnesses appear, and the trouble and the tribulation begins. The two witnesses preach the true word of God, causing the great harlot and the white horse leader to be furious. The Lord protects the two witnesses by giving them special powers. They strike fear in the hearts of the people and bring ungodly Israel to the point of ruin. Even in the midst of the peace treaty, fire comes from their mouth to devour all their enemies. They stop the rain for 1260 days, and they turn the water to blood at will. They smite the nation of Israel with a plague, and locusts come to devour all the crops, so Israel will begin to starve. She is a hated nation, and no one will sell to her. Jesus breaks the second seal, allowing the man on a red horse with a sword to ride with the intent of killing people. His name is Gog, and he controls the land north of Israel called Magog, Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Gog sees Israel living in peace, although they are starving. Jesus tells the leaders of Israel to call a solemn assembly to turn their hearts over to him in repentance, and he will provide. But they are a stubborn people. Even the witnesses of the 144,000 Israelites do not convince them to turn to the Lord, and neither does the power and authority of the two witnesses. It is almost the middle of the first 3.5 years, and the Red Horse King plans his attack and gathers his forces. While moving to attack Jerusalem, the White Horseman hears of the invasion and moves to Jerusalem, where he defeats the Red Horse King in the Battle of Gog. Refusing to leave Jerusalem, he breaks the 7-year treaty with Israel, setting up his throne in Jerusalem, stopping the sacrifices, and establishes the abomination of desolation in the temple. Israel has not turned to the Lord yet. Jerusalem is captured by the Western leader, and he now shows his beastly side, and he is known as the first beast from here on out. He plunders the houses and he ravishes the women. One half of the city's population dies in the Battle of Gog. The other half, 70,000 people, will remain in the city. It takes 7 months to bury all those killed in the Battle of Gog. The birds and the beasts will get their fill of flesh. It would take 7 years to burn all the debris from the battle, but there is only 3.5 years left in the tribulation. One more event must take place before Israel will trust in the Lord. Now, in the middle of the 7-year treaty, war has returned to Jerusalem, but they have been captured and conquered once again. Devastated, the Jews beat their farming equipment into weapons of war for protection. Jesus breaks the third seal, and a man on a black horse begins to ride, carrying a set of scales. The cost of food is outrageous. The whole economic system is in shambles, and it is all part of the Lord's plan to bring Israel into a relationship with Him. The Lord begs Israel to return to Him. They have no grain, they have no wine to offer Him as a gift, but He does not care. He wants them to be His and to worship Him. War breaks out in heaven. It is time for Satan to be removed from the presence of God. He has been there accusing the saints all these centuries. Michael and his host of angels fight with Satan and his demons, and they are cast down to earth, where Satan pursues Israel and the Gentiles. Satan energizes the first beast, who makes war with everyone who believes in the Lord during the tribulation time, beheading all of them. The first beast now speaks lies, like the dragon, the old Satan, and he has the power to call down fire. The great harlot, Islam, and her prophet controls the first beast and the white horse riders and the people with her religious requirements. The first beast hates the great harlot, but he still needs her to help in his grab for power for a while. So he will continue to put up with her. How much longer, an angel asked the Lord, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? The Lord says, for time, times, and half a time, or 3.5 years, or 1290 days. But the Lord promises that those who survive until the 1335th day will truly be blessed. With the first beast in Jerusalem, he wants to rid the world of the two witnesses. And over the next 30 days, he will wait for the opportune time to overtake them. When their 1260 days of witnessing is complete, they are vulnerable to the attack of the beast, and he kills them in the streets of Jerusalem. For 3.5 days, their bodies lie in the street rotting, and the world erupts in joy, treating it like a national holiday, even giving gifts of celebration to each other. But on that third day, the voice of the Lord trumpets from heaven, and the world hears him. And the world sees the witnesses stand to their feet, and they ascend into the clouds and on into heaven. As soon as their feet leave the earth, an earthquake shakes the foundation of Jerusalem, and 1/10 of the city dies on that day, 7,000 in number. Fear strikes the world, and Israel finally sees the truth and believes when she sees the miracle of God on that day. Infuriated, the dragon Satan, the first beast, and the false prophets strike out at the people of Israel, but the Lord protects her by scattering her to a place of safety down in the cities of Gaza and the other places such as Bozrah. Satan tries to drown her in a flood of water, but she escapes with the help of an earthquake. The Edomites join in hampering Israel's escape. Jesus breaks the fourth seal, and the man on a pale horse emerges with his plagues of famine, sword, pestilence, and wild beast. His name is Death, and all of Hades follows after him. At this point, the false prophet requires the entire world to worship the first beast and the images made of the beast, and require everyone to take the mark of the beast, the 666, in order to buy, sell, or trade. Satan plans on sending plagues on the earth to torment all who fail to follow the instruction of the false prophet. Satan commands his first barrage on the earth in the form of hell, fire, and brimstone, which mix with the blood of the dead. He wants 1/3 of the earth to burn with fire, so the Lord allows the angel with the first trumpet to blow so Satan's command can occur. But at the same time, the Lord has the first angel pour the first bowl on the earth, and loathsome sores break out on the bodies of all who have the mark of the beast, and they writhe in pain. Satan retaliates by attempting to cast a great object into the sea that looks like a mountain. The Lord has the second trumpet sound, and the event causes another 1/3 of the sea to die, and the destruction of the 1/3 of the ships carrying the life-sustaining goods. The Lord sends the angel to pour out the second bowl, and it turns the sea to blood and causes the sea creatures to die. Satan does not possess this kind of power. Only the creator of the universe can make these things happen. Satan wants the star called Wormwood to fall into 1/3 of the fresh waters, making it rancid so many will die. So the Lord allows that angel with the third trumpet to blow, and the star begins to fall. The Lord has an angel pour the third bowl onto the earth, and 1/3 of the fresh waters and rivers and springs become rancid with blood, because the marked ones, the ones with the 666, they are pouring out the blood of the saints by brutally beheading them as instructed by the idolatrous religion Islam. Jesus breaks the fifth seal, and the souls of all those who have been beheaded during the tribulation are under the altar, and they cry out, "How long?" The Lord answers them, "Until all that are to die have died." The rampage of the killing progresses at an alarming rate in the world. Never has the world seen such tribulation before. If it continues, no one will survive its destruction. The saints under the altar must wait patiently until all who are to die are beheaded for their faith in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan attempts to alter nature by causing 1/3 of the sun, moon, and the stars not to shine. So the Lord calls for the fourth trumpet to sound, and nature is altered. The Lord has the angel with the fourth bowl pour God's wrath out upon the earth on all who are following Satan. And even though the sun scorches them, they will not repent of their evil deeds. The Lord allows the fifth trumpet to blast as Satan calls for the plagues of the locust to come forth. A star falls to the ground with the key to the bottomless pit, and it opens the pit, allowing the locust to be released. The locust can only sting people. They cannot kill, because Satan does not have the power to kill mankind without the permission of the Lord. For 5 months, they will sting the people. The idolatrous woman, the harlot, has led in the beheading of all the new tribulation saints, but she has also trampled on the plans of Satan and the beast. Satan and the beast have used her to their advantage all these years since her establishment in 631 AD, but now she is in the way of Satan's progress. God puts it in the mind of the beast to kill the harlot, and he does it in 1 hour, in one legal act. The beast strips her of all her power. In the last 6 years, the beast has obtained so much power that no one on earth, including the idolatrous woman, can overcome his decision. He is the ultimate evil dictator on earth. With her power stripped, the world wails, but heaven rejoices. Nations have drunk the wine of her passion, of her immoralities, and the merchants of the earth, and they have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Her sins have piled up as high as the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities, and she will be paid back double according to the evil of her deeds. The kings of the earth weep and lament over the death. Merchants have no one to buy their cargoes. Joy in heaven erupts with the saints and the apostles, and the prophets of God have pronounced judgment against Babylon. A strong angel takes a great millstone and throws it into the sea, saying, "Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures worship God. The Lord has the angel pour out the fifth bowl on the earth, and the first beast and his entire kingdom gnaw their tongues in pain, and they blaspheme God, but they will not repent. Jesus breaks the sixth seal, and the armies of the world begin to gather in the valley of Armageddon to fight against Jesus when he comes. With the breaking of seal 6, Satan now has permission to release the four dreaded angels held in chains at the Euphrates River. So the Lord allows the sixth trump to sound, and those evil angels are freed. A 200 million army of horseman-like creatures move towards the Euphrates, and they will kill one-third of humanity on their journey to Jerusalem. The Lord has the sixth bowl poured out, and the Euphrates River dries up so the king of the 200 million can move his army to the valley to fight against the Lord. Satan, the beast, and the false prophet then send word to the entire world to come fight against the Lord in the valley of Armageddon by way of the three frogs that come out of their mouths. Standing in the valley of Armageddon, the beast prepares to fight against the Lord, and his army covers every inch of the valley for miles. Thousands upon thousands have entered this valley, men and women from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. All have the brand of the 666 on their foreheads or on their right hands. They believe that they can conquer the Lord when he arrives. Jesus breaks the seventh seal, and an angel throws a golden censer to the ground, and the earthquake occurs, the most violent earthquake ever to occur on earth. The wrath of the Lord has come. The sun turns black, the moon turns red, the stars begin to fall from the skies. As the earth begins to rumble, the sky begins to roll back like a scroll. The mountains and the islands shake as they begin to move from their original place. Those in the valley begin to worry. In their fear, they try to hide, but hiding will not help them now. Simultaneously, the Lord commands the seventh trumpet to blow, and the universe knows that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord. The 24 elders fall to worship God. Heaven appears through the sky that is split wide open, and the ark comes in view in heaven. Lightning strikes, and the earthquake shatters the topography, and hell begins to storm down on the earth. The nations of the world scatter in the valley, and they are enraged with fear and with anger. But God is not through with his part. He has the angel pour the seventh bowl upon the earth. It is the wrath of God. A voice cries out from the temple saying, "It is done." The bowl brings a tempest of torment upon the world. The earthquake that erupts splits the great city of Jerusalem into three parts. Two parts of the city are destroyed. Cities of all the world are destroyed. Hail, 100 pounds big, falls, but the people in the valley of Armageddon simply increase in their blasphemies. Clothed in righteousness, the bride exits the bridal chamber with her groom at the end of the 7 years. She has her rewards and her assignments for the future, and she is a prepared army, a mighty host arrayed like no other army ever seen. The Lord sits on a great white cloud in heaven. Six angels enter into a conversation with the Lord, bidding him to use his sickle to cut the grapes and to throw them into the great wine press on earth, which extends for 180 miles. Another angel also has a sickle to help the Lord. Another angel is flying in the mid-heavens, preaching the eternal gospel to those who live on the earth and to those who will worship the Creator. Another angel says, anyone who has the mark of the beast will drink the full wrath of God and be tormented in fire and brimstone. And a voice from heaven says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. The fourth angel that we have heard from says, reap the harvest of the earth. And the fifth angel comes out of the temple in heaven with a sickle. The sixth angel has power over fire, and he tells the fifth angel to reap clusters from the vine of the earth and throw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God, which is outside the city of Jerusalem, and the blood will rise as high as the horse's bridles for 180 miles. The Lord calls and invites the guests to the great marriage supper on earth. The guests are the birds of prey, and they will follow the Lord and his army into the battlefield to dine on the flesh that is left on that field of battle. Israel has beat their farming tools back into implements of war. She is now ready to fight against all the wickedness with the Lord. Their efforts will take place in Jerusalem while the Lord destroys the armies in the Valley of Harmageddon. On that last day of the 7 years of tribulation, the sun is dark and so is the moon. The stars are falling from the sky and the evil armies begin to attack Jerusalem, and the Jews fight valiantly, but they need the Lord's help. Jesus breaks through the eastern skies on a white horse, his eyes flaming with fire, his crown with many diadems, and he has his name written on him, the Word of God. His robe is dipped in blood. The armies of all the heaven, those saints of all the ages, are dressed in fine linen and riding their white horses. A sharp two-edged sword comes out of the mouth of the Lord, and on his thigh and on his robe is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At noon he leaves heaven with the flash of lightning. He destroys Babylon and Nineveh first. Then he destroys all the Edomites on their mountains of Paran and in their capital of Teman. Behind him, plagues and pestilence startle the nations, and the perpetual mountains begin to shatter and collapse, while Jerusalem and 25 miles north, east, south, and west of the city begins to rise, making it the highest mountain in the world with a 50-mile by 50-mile plateau on its top. He utters his voice and says, "It is done," as he and the army begins to swoop on the nations in the twinkling of an eye. The beautiful land in front of him is desolate when they pass by. In the Valley of Harmageddon, the enemies of the Lord and their armies are struck with bewilderment and begin to rot and die where they stand. The evil army of the world is destroyed by the word of the Lord. Only 1/3 of the Jews survived that day, refined in the fire of the battle. The army of the Lord rushes on the cities, and they run on the walls throughout the entire world to assure the destruction of all the enemies of the Lord who took the mark of the beast. Great and mighty is this army of the Lord. The first beast and the false prophet are then cast into the lake of fire, and the rest are killed by the word of God, and the birds are filling themselves with the flesh of all the dead. The Lord sets his foot on the Mount Zion. 144,000 are there, and the true Israel prevails. Satan is bound in chains and thrown into the bottom of the deepest ocean, and the door is shut over him for 1,000 years. The saints who were beheaded during the tribulation receive their transformed bodies and join the ranks of the bride of Christ to reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. The birds who were invited to dine at the great marriage supper of God begin to eat that flesh of all those who were destroyed by the Lord in the Valley of Armageddon. They are the Lord's consecrated guests on that unique day when the light of the sun and the moon pale in comparison to the light of the Lord. But by 6 o'clock in the evening, the sun shines again, only to set in the west, and the moon will show its light in the heavens. Armageddon has lasted less than 6 hours. The 7 years of tribulation has ended that very day. 6,999 years of time have passed in the history of man, and the 7,000th year of rest with Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the world finally begins.